Tuesday, August 8th, 2006, Upon Further Review, Episode Number 9. Nine companions sent out from Rivendell to destroy the One Ring of Power. And on the way, they happen to check out this show called Upon Further Review. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we'd like to welcome everyone in and thank everybody one more time for listening to us. And we want to welcome in our guest reviewer that we have today. We're on episode 9, so we feel that we've gone far enough now that we feel confident enough to bring other people in and not be afraid they're going to take over the show. And so we want to introduce somebody that we've spoken before about on this show, and that is Clea's friend, Catherine. So hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Catherine is going to be doing guest reviews with us, and part of it is because...
Guest reviews. Plural.
It's official. You didn't know,
Sweet.
Catherine. This is the start of many things
That's
to
right.
come.
So
we'll see how this
that.
Goes.
She's going to do that, and part of it is because we all saw the movie Superman Returns, and so we're going to be doing a review of that, and Catherine saw it, and we thought her input would be good. So we have her here as well. Before we get started, I just want to have one loose end that I clear up, which is our friend Steve from the Wicked Good Podcast emailed us about the EB Games review we did a couple weeks back, and wanted to say that he had pretty much, I won't read the whole thing that he sends us, but he sends an email saying, essentially, I've given up on used games because I know what the margin on used games is, and I'm not interested in financing EB Games and GameStop's bottom line. He recommends, instead of going through them, that you go to Gamefly.com, www.gamefly.com, which apparently is like a Netflix for games, where you can pay a monthly fee, and then you get games that get sent to you. Anyway, he says that he thinks it's good, and that if we're interested, he'd be happy to do a guest review of that at some point down the future.
Okay,
so Catherine
cool.
is the pioneer. You know,
yeah, yeah, we'll see if I want to share.
In. That's right. So thanks, Steve, for emailing us. We appreciate it. And you guys should go check out the Wicked Good Podcast. They're good. And there's a link on our website. And the only other thing I want to mention quickly is that for those of you who are constant contributors or listeners who go to our website, you may notice that there have been a couple of things with the download links. Those should all be working now. It was a couple of sort of issues with PodPress, which are now fixed. So if you have been trying and going, what the hell happened to my downloads? They're all there now. They all work. And so...
Okay, but back to the game. Does that mean we can stop having to pay for games and we can just do that now?
Because if we're up to Clea, Clea would lease or rent everything in the world on Earth. Clea would own nothing, including her clothes. She would just lease them on a month-to-month basis.
That's a good idea.
That is a really good idea.
Like, I'm going to steal that idea because I can never figure out what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
This is great.
Because Catherine will buy something and then will try it on and then doesn't like it anymore.
So
she could return it after 5 days. She would be a happy, happy woman.
You guys are just library people, like about everything. If you could rent food, that would be good, right?
No.
There's no way to return that.
Well, there is, but
Catherine actually does. Yeah, no, Catherine, I think you could, but we wouldn't want it to return it in that state.
That's a little distressing. Because there's three of us, we decided that we're going to do two things, and depending on how our time goes, we may add in a third.
It's because Superman is worth two.
Apparently.
You know, Superman is so great that he is.
Is that how many
two.
Points he gets?
I guess
we're already
so.
There?
We're leading in with...
No, Catherine, we're not to the
not
points yet.
Okay. We're going to be doing Superman Returns to lead off, and we're going to finish off with Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing podcast. So we're going to finish
off with that
as well.
Yeah, I hope we make it to that one.
We will.
Catherine in particular is really pumped up about this, so we want to make sure we do that.
My grammar is stellar.
Especially after listening to this. Okay, so we're going to start out with Superman Returns.
I want to know it all. Everything. Olsen. I want to see photos of him everywhere.
Hark, hey, welcome back. So you've met the munchkin.
Hello. Fearless reporter Lois Lane is a mommy. But if you ask me, she's still in love with you-know-who.
Does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff?
Superman Returns.
You can find the website for this at supermanreturns.warnerbros.com.
And you open up a website where right away you see the Jesus symbolism.
Oh, you just gave it away. You totally gave it away.
Right. So that's the review. And we, yeah.
Is Jesus symbolism so common in the comic book itself?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, because there's this sense that Superman is always the one who can save. I mean, he refers to himself as a savior many times in the movie and in the comic book. So kind of is obvious. But I guess I'll let you guys. we saw this last Friday, and we actually saw it in IMAX 3D.
3D!
So we saw it. Catherine was really pumped about that.
This is my first 3D.
Well, I should ask about that. Let's lead off with that. What did you think of the 3D? First of all, describe how it was done, I guess, first of all. And then
I have no idea how it was done.
Well, no, but
I wore glasses, and it popped out at me.
But they
done.
That's true. No, but I mean, I guess they
glasses.
Had they had no. like set up, right? Like they gave you they like flashed a little thing on the screen and all that kind
I
of stuff.
I have to explain that part?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's a little symbol and it basically flashed lights at you.
Flashed you green, a little light, little
it was the stop and go
glasses thing. Yeah, flashed green then turn them on, red to turn them.
Cuz the whole movie wasn't in 3D is the point. It was just like these four scenes. But you thought it was really good 3D. You had never seen it before, so.
Well, I'd never done 3D before. So that was really, really exciting for me. I see that it's probably not the world's best 3D. Because when things are just really small and they seem closer, it's not quite the same effect as
something
being
big.
In it.
Yeah, something big.
You know?
Well, and you could see the difference because, I think you could see the difference a little bit because they had the previews were all in 3D too. So you saw like the penguin dancing, which was big on the screen.
Yeah, Clea really liked that part.
Yeah.
That was her favorite part of the movie.
Bring back the penguin. Where's the penguin?
I want the penguin doing Savion Glover's choreography again. He's a famous tap dancer, just so you don't know.
There's like one person in America who's like, yes, I know it.
I know.
Yeah.
I got your back.
Well, you're the one person, Kevin.
Right. Okay.
So
thank
you
God
the
I'm on the show.
Well, Clea, what did you think about the 3D?
I thought it sucked. And as soon there was this woman who's this older woman handing out the glasses, and she seemed really annoyed with her job. So she's standing there.
That's
and so
what
she
ruined it for you?
Oh, don't get me started. Well, actually, no, we are getting me started. So we give our ticket, and then she's handing these things down. As soon as I see them, I'm like, oh, no. Please don't be bad. Please don't take over the whole show about being 3D. So she hands it to me, doesn't even look at me. And I say, so how much of this of the show is 3D?
Like cricket, she would know.
Cricket.
She didn't answer me. I think she didn't even realize I was existing.
Speaking.
Let alone speaking to her. So I took him and I was like, oh, I was really silent. We're all getting our seats. I was like, oh, God. I really hope. You know, because I've seen Captain what was it? Not Captain Nemo. Captain Emo? Captain. Is it Captain Nemo? The one with Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Captain EO or what was it?
Oh, God. I don't
that sounds
know.
Better.
That was the one done in Disney World.
It was at Disneyland. Excuse me. Disneyland is the better one in California. That was kick-ass 3D. But I was worried. I was worried that it was going to take away from... I was worried it was going to be a gimmick and that it was going to take away from the movie. I don't think it took away from it, but it definitely didn't add anything.
It did, yeah.
And in a way, one could say it took a little bit from it because it took you out of it a little bit. You were like, oh, everyone's like, okay. You know, everyone
the
in the audience.
Put the glasses on.
Especially the guys behind us who were very excited about the fact that there was 3D action. They were very loud. And then I guess the guy next to your boyfriend.
Oh, man, he was
Matt,
a winner.
He was waving his arms in the air.
He was trying to punch Superman. I so wish it was really 3D and he could punch you back.
These were like those kind of people. Do you know what we mean? Yeah. And the guy behind us was, the guys behind us were just, it was kind of cool because they're really, but they were so into it that they, like someone would say, like at one point, Lex Luthor says something like, well, only you primates wouldn't understand. The guy's like, yeah, he had to say that because that's like what it was in the first movie. I'm like, oh God, we've got like an expert on the first movie.
But I was focused on the movie. I was, engaged in the movie. But then when suddenly there was the flashing glasses, then suddenly there's commotion in the theater. Everyone moves to put them on. Oh, we got to put them on. So it takes you out of the movie a little bit.
And I personally, for me, and I think this just may be me, I have never been one of those people that really see, I don't know if it's just that I don't see it very well, but 3D just doesn't work particularly for me. So I'm just like, yeah,
does 3D not work as well if you have like nearsighted or farsightedness?
Yeah, I thought about that, but I mean, other people around wearing glasses.
Yeah.
And I mean, Catherine wears glasses. I don't know.
But you had your contacts on, right, Catherine?
Correct.
Maybe that has something to do with it. It could be. I've just never been. I haven't seen the Captain Nemo in the world.
I just like the idea of 3D.
I love the idea.
I think every movie should be in 3D.
And I think that it had a lot of potential with Superman, obviously, because there's big, huge objects. There's this man flying around. They could have made it really exciting.
But they didn't use any of the flying stuff.
Exactly. They didn't do it at times when they should have done it. But was the 3D only in IMAX, or was the regular movie also have 3D parts?
No, it was only in IMAX. They made a big thing about the fact that it was 3D IMAX, not like 3D elsewhere. And I will say, like, we saw Batman Begins at that same IMAX theater, and I'll definitely agree with you guys that everything should be seen in IMAX, because everything is just cooler in IMAX, and, like, and sound and everything else. One of the things I thought was good, by the way, about this theater, very quickly, this is the one, obviously, in Manhattan and New York where we live, and I did think that...
It's Lowe's, right, Catherine? Yep. Lowe's around 60th Street.
And I thought that they really handled the sound well, because it was... I've been to some places where it's so loud that it's painful, and they actually, like, you know, you felt like you were in the middle of this impressive rumbling, you know, all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't over the top, I thought. So I think
I've never felt that this... I agree, sometimes the sound's too bad, and I've never felt that at that place. And
that's true. I never thought of it before, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
And I've seen... We've seen three things there, right? We saw... Batman Returns. We saw
you saw Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. But it's not called Charlie. It's called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah. I love Johnny Depp. Can we review Johnny Depp?
I want to review Johnny Depp. Next time Catherine's on, we're reviewing Johnny Depp.
I'm losing control of the show, guys. But yes,
he's so hot.
Yeah. So the 3D. So I was kind of like, 3D, whatever. But it was fine.
Let me give you an example. There's this one time you can see it in the previews where the young Superman is running through the fields and jumping and kind of flying, and he's running horizontal, like from the left part of the screen to the right part of the screen, up and down. Well, that's not going to look any really necessarily cooler in 3D unless he's coming at you.
Well, the cornfields were coming at you.
Yeah. It's true.
That was impressive.
They were very big on the cornfields.
That's like 8 feet high.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's true. You felt like you were in the corn and watching Superman, I guess. That was the theory.
That was the same scene with the little tiny car and the little tiny house and the little tiny barn.
Even there was a 3D scene with a big boat, and the boat was like a model boat. It was, yeah. Okay, so the 3D, and I guess if you put all this together, you'd say it was decent. Catherine liked it the best, and Clea thought it sucked, and I thought it was okay.
She liked
the
idea.
Okay, all right. So let's
I'd give the 3D a 1.
Well, I don't know that we can break it apart like that.
But
we can add them up at the end.
Yeah, that's fair. That'll be really, see?
I don't know that I can give it a rating because I just don't know if it's just me, but I guess I would say...
But subjective. You're supposed to be giving a rating from
1.5,
maybe? You're all about the frickin' 0.5.
How many points do we have?
Well,
we have five. Yeah. And he always wants to make 0.5.
Can I rate?
Yeah, Kevin hasn't given a rating yet.
Okay, we'll do it.
I'm thinking. I've never seen any other 3D.
Okay.
So I'm going
to
give
but you saw the previews, so compare it to the previews.
But that was animation. I mean, it's going to be a totally different ballgame.
That's true.
Okay, the Superman, he wasn't really flying, Catherine.
Oh, man. I just ruined it for like every 13-year-old out there.
They're all like shutting it off.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
All right.
Because I was very excited.
Okay, that's bold. Okay. All right, let's move on to the film itself and talk about what we thought about the film. I'll just say one thing and then I'll let you guys talk. One just opening comment, which is, I think the reviews of the movie were generally not very positive, and I did think the reviews were generally worse than what I felt the movie was. I thought the movie was better than the reviews, yes. One of the examples that was given by a lot of reviewers was that it didn't have any sort of emotional weight. You know, the movie just went on and nothing ever happened in the movie. And I understood what they meant, but I thought that there was emotional weight to it. I think what they're referring to is some other problem that I'll refer to later, but I think it's in terms of, like, I thought there was some emotional connection to it, and there was something to be... The movie, I think, is at its best when Superman is flying, you know, he's above the planet, and you get a sense that here is this savior-like guy who's responsible for the entire world, you know, and he's listening to everybody, and he has to somehow figure out a way to solve, like, all the world's problems, metaphorically speaking. That, I think, is when the movie's at its best, because you really do sense his loneliness a little bit and how it's like he's got to be able to solve all
this.
That's
what I was going to say.
There are those moments.
I completely agree that there are feelings there. We see his struggle very well, and it's internal struggle because he is the Man of Steel, and I think it's expressed quite well.
Yeah.
And
but I see it more in his relationship to Lois and other people in his life, more so than the weight of the world. I mean, I get that, but that wasn't the emotional tug for me. The emotional tug was him coming back to this world that had totally changed, and where does he fit in now?
Mm. Well, and the actor himself, I forget who the actor's name was, actually. Let's see if we can find it here. That was another thing, is that a lot of people had sort of commented about how they didn't like him. I was favorably impressed with him. I went into it thinking that he was going to be terrible, and I think that he was very good. And
he did a very good job.
He did a very good job. And one other thing that they did very well overall in the movie, the Christopher Reeve...
Brandon...
what's his last name?
R-O-U-T-H.
Okay, yeah, Brandon Routh. So he did an extremely good job. They did a very good job of casting because this movie, and I'll talk about this later, but so deferential to Christopher Reeve, and he looked... His mannerisms, not so much
smile.
How he looks, his mannerisms are so much like Christopher Reeve. The way he delivers the lines, very, very much in line with that. So I was much more impressed with him than I thought I would be. He was good.
Yeah, and I don't know. Some people might say that they wouldn't like that.
That me they'd want something
thinking,
new.
Me taking it a little personally, I mean, maybe it's stupid, but I did respect Christopher Reeve. I did think he did a good job in the original Superman. So I think that it is good that they, it's like they carried on. It's like it picked up afterwards. And, you know, quite often when a significant actor is then replaced with another actor, you can tell it's a different character. This one I almost felt like it really was the same Superman, mm-hmm. and it was carrying on. Forget, obviously, Superman 3 and 4, yeah. but I really did
like
feel
everyone
like...
everyone else
it,
would like to.
Yeah, like I really did feel it was carrying on. It's not like Batman where you had... Each time it really felt like
it's
a different
totally
Batman.
Different. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. And that's all I have to say.
Well, do we want to comment on any of the other? I mean, the other big actor, of course, was Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor, and I guess you know maybe we should mention him briefly.
I thought Kevin Spacey did a really good job. I think he also was consistent to how other people Gene Hackman's position. How did you feel about that, Catherine? I know that your boyfriend hated his version of him. He did make the good point of that. I do feel, and I had to agree a little bit. I do feel there's certain actors that have gotten so big that it makes them difficult to do certain roles. And I did feel like I was watching Kevin Spacey playing him.
I would agree with that as well. I enjoyed all of the performances. And I think they all meshed together really well. Yeah, I think they all had relationships with one another that came across. And
that's the touch of Bryan Singer, I think. I think that's Bryan Singer, the director's. That's his touch, is being able to get those actors to work
together. Right, because it's not Kevin Spacey just off on his own being, I'm a big actor.
Right.
I don't have to deal with you guys.
Right.
It was very cohesive.
They were very much an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's true. But I guess the thing for me was that having said all that, and I mean, and I'll agree that, I'll admit that I probably am more of a Batman person than a Superman person. I think
what does that mean psychologically?
I know, I wonder.
Well, give your example that you always give. One comic.
Yeah. So there's when I was a kid, there was a comic with Batman and Superman together, and Batman and Superman are heading. You know, they're fighting together, and they're following these drug smugglers. And this drug smuggler's ship gets into international waters, so it passes the international line. And Superman stops chasing. He's like, "Well, we can't do this. You know, now it's out of the jurisdiction of this country, and we have to talk to their government. You know, that's the law." And Batman says, "I'm not interested in the law. I'm interested in justice." And he like blows a hole in the ship and goes
perfect.
In there. And that really is the difference, because Superman is always so good. Goody two shoes and
right.
you know that.
And
kind
Greg
of
is all about justice.
And not being goody two shoes.
That's right. And not wearing a red cape. Although I will say this, I mean, you know, the movie demonstrates how unbelievably kick ass this guy is in terms of his abilities and the fact that he knows how to do them. I mean, how he's able to, you know, there are a couple of really cool scenes where he's using the heat vision and the X-ray vision, and he's doing the lifting the things, and he's stopping the stuff from falling. And they did a good job of sort of demonstrating his ability and knowing how to use the powers that he has. My problem with the movie, I think, was it was so deferential to Christopher Reeve that I think that ends up undercutting the movie a little bit, because if you really think about it, I don't think much happens in this movie. I think they drag out the plot a lot to fit into, you know, whatever it was, 2 hours or 2.5 hours.
But and I don't think, does that have to do with the fact that it was differential to Christopher Reeve? I think it has to do with I think it's just a plot issue. I felt like it wasn't a movie. I felt like it was a 2 hour TV episode.
Yeah, that could be. But I guess I guess one of the things I liked so much about Batman Begins, which was obviously a reworking of the whole thing, is that they weren't afraid to strike out on their own. I mean, they didn't feel like, oh, I've got to pay lip service to Michael Keaton. Oh, if I play this wrong, it'll come out. They just said, screw that. We're going to tell the tale correctly.
But and do you think they could really do that with Superman, given the circumstance?
Because of what happened to Christopher Reeve? That, I agree with you. I think you're right, because Christopher Reeve and Dana Reeve passed away. But that, in a way, I think the question then becomes, what are you serving? Are you serving their memories, or are you serving the quality of the movie? Because I think you're right, Catherine. It's immediately what I thought, was they're doing this because, you know, they've got to be deferential to Christopher Reeve. And as good and wonderful a person as Christopher Reeve was, and as good work as they did, and how tragic his life was, etc. I mean, if you want to review a movie, I think the movie has to stand on its own 2 feet. And I felt there was so much bowing and scraping at the altar that I did think it kind of cut back a little bit.
I don't know, but if you don't know who he is, like, let's say you're a kid and this is the first Superman movie you saw, you wouldn't know that. And I think it would stand on its own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it does. I do think that they were very focused on being differential to Christopher Reeve, but I don't think that that's what the problem was with the plot. I think that they went into this with the idea that this was going to be one of many. And so they set up, they took that into consideration when they were creating the plot. And just as I think X-Men 1 was better than X-Men 2, because they created X-Men 1 with the understanding we want to make the best movie we can, while X-Men 2 was like, oh, this is the second one and might be the second of three, then it changes it. It's, I think they went into this going, this is going to be one of many, and that's why it feels like an episode and not a movie in and of itself.
Yeah, it could be. I guess I just feel like with Brian Singer's rep and the fact that, you know, the circumstances that he came over while, what's-his-face, Ratner went over to ruin X-Men 3 from this movie.
He was the one who did X-Men 1.
Right, Brian and Singer. X-Men 1 and 2, and he also did The Usual Suspects. So this is a guy who really knows how to direct. And he
that's
came over.
That's how Kevin Spacey got the job.
That's right, exactly. That is true, actually. It's true. And that's
and
why.
And how Cyclops got the job.
And why Ratner, who was directing this movie, stopped midstream and then went over to that movie. So I went over to X-Men 3. So I don't know what to say about it except to say that there's a lot of good touches in this movie, but I have to say, given how good a director Brian Singer is, I was a little disappointed. I was really hoping that this was going to be one of those blow-you-away type of movies. Instead, it was kind of, to me, a good popcorn movie, good action movie, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't like, as I say, better than what the critics thought it was. A lot of the critics panned it, and I didn't think it was that bad, but I also didn't think it was phenomenal for me.
It was, I guess I can go along, was a little bit of a one-note pony. Like, your boyfriend, Catherine, said this a little bit.
A one-note pony? That's awesome.
Where
Yay.
He You know what? It's 12 o'clock at night, Greg. And I'm gonna say it again. It was a one night note pony.
It was a
one night pony.
You gotta love those one night ponies.
It's a Palomino 1 week and Stallion the next.
Wow, I would just like good, to. Greg. I would just like to say that my boyfriend has a name.
Well, but if I keep saying Matt, no one else is going to know.
No, but you could say.
I could say it the first time, Matt, Catherine's boyfriend, and now I can start referring to him as Matt. Okay, so as I was saying, Matt made the good point that although, as Greg said, he did have like a few scenes where he was using his laser vision and then he was using the fire. Majority of what he seemed to be doing throughout the entire movie was catching things and making them stop, lifting, holding things.
Yeah.
And progressively through the movie, they were bigger and bigger objects until he's picking up in a continent.
It is true. Like, at the end, they were clearly running out of things to lift. They're like, okay, we don't have anything to get here. Okay.
But it's Superman. I mean, you have to suspend any kind of belief in reality.
No, I'm not. I suspend belief. What I'm saying is, show me other stuff the guy can do. Come on, have him, you know,
like
fly
second,
around the Earth
third,
and turn it backwards.
Fourth.
Have
he
him,
didn't do that
you know,
in the
do
first
a little
movie.
Tap dance like the Penguin.
Sure he did.
He did a tap dance?
No.
The flying around the Earth.
Only the Penguin. No, but bring that in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, that's an inherent issue with Superman, right? Like, Superman himself, the problem with Superman, and they always had this problem even in the comic book, since he's only vulnerable to kryptonite, how many times can you be like, oh, I just happened to find a random piece of kryptonite? Like, there's
only
one,
evil can find.
There's one kryptonite. Cool scene where, like, he's walking up to this guy with a Gatling gun, and I won't say the end of it, but he's just walking up, and these bullets are just blowing off of his chest because, of course, he's invulnerable to bullets. You realize at that point, they should just stop the fight when he arrives, right? Like, what's the point? Like, you can't do anything with him except if you have kryptonite. So they're always a little bit strained in trying to get him to kryptonite to weaken him.
Yeah, but there's
him,
plenty
you know?
Of bullies and jerks who think they can beat up anybody, no yeah. matter how huge they are.
Yeah.
Until Superman shows up. And then they're like, oh, not him.
No, they're going to try him out,
they're gonna
too.
At least try, because they're going to think, well, I can do it.
Yeah,
you know, the other people were idiots and didn't know how to do it.
This leads us to our rating section. So we'll start with our guest reviewer, Catherine. Catherine, what would you say for a rating of this movie?
Okay, well, I went into this movie thinking this is not going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Because I'd heard the reviews.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, eh, you know, I'm not really excited. I don't know about the comic book.
Did you like the first movie?
I liked the first movies, okay. But...
So why did you come? Just because you love me that much?
IMAX 3D.
3D. 3D. It's like our show, Clea. Old well, Ponder for the review, 3D.
Awesome. You stop talking so loud. My God, is it just
3D.
Me?
It's the 3D
I would
sound.
Like visuals, actually.
That's cool.
Sorry, honey, it's a podcast.
So having said you weren't, you know, you went in with those expectations.
Right, so whenever you go in with low expectations, hopefully you come out with something a little bit better.
Sure.
So I came out having a really good time, enjoying it, and I would suggest that everybody go see it. Unless, I guess they're really married to the Superman comics.
No, I because know. I thought it was pretty...
It was consistent with
okay,
it.
Good. Consistent, okay, yeah. So then I would say it's a good movie for everybody because there's the emotional stuff for the girls, and then I like action, and there's action, and...
How about the... you have a number rating?
You have to give it a number, honey. Sorry. 1 to 5. Sorry. 5 is excellent.
Yes.
What's a good movie that's 5?
What's that movie you always say?
Fellowship of the Shawshank. Ring is 5. Shawshank Redemption is a 5, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give this one a 3.25.
Catherine, you're supposed to be working with me on this.
It's hard, isn't it hard? So we want to say 3.25. Are you more like a 3.5 or a 3? Let's put it that way.
I'm going to go with a 3.
Okay. Clea?
You know, it's hard because... I mean, I'm a TV person, so I'm fine with things being TV episodes. But then I'm worried that then you're going to suck me in, and then Bryan Singer, you're going to leave me again. Like, you know, a one-night pony. So...
But just because he disappointed you once doesn't mean he's going to do it again.
Okay, so I have to be current.
So, yeah.
So I'm going to say, I too went in worried that I wouldn't like it, and I guess I want to say... He was kind of hot, too.
He was.
He was really hot. There wasn't enough chest scenes, though. That was a problem.
Well, they want us to come back.
There wasn't any sex scene at all. That pissed me off.
Superman
has sex.
Yeah, but...
What, you think he's too goody-two-shoes and not going to show a sex scene?
We're going to need a rating here.
I mean,
a 3.
How awesome would that be?
I know, exactly.
It's so 3. Funny that I totally expected you guys were going to blow me away on the numerical rating, but I was also thinking a 3, because it's better than what the critics claimed, but I didn't think it was outstanding. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a 3.
I mean, I'm tempted to give it a 4, simply to think of its potential, but I don't want to do that. Stay in
no, if so you compare it to 3.5. Lots of other movies.
No, I don't want to do any 0.5s.
All right, so if you take Clea's, Catherine's, and my rating together, we have a 3 for Superman Returns, which is a good endorsement, so you should go see.
Is the math correct on that?
Yes. It probably is like a 3.36. Anyway, okay. All right, next and last thing we have for today's show is our podcast review, and that is Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing.
Grammar Girl here. Today's topic is nixing the horrid of. Almost everyone has some personal bad writing habits. One of mine is that I overuse the word of. O-F. Of. I was working on a very technical document a few days ago, and as I read back through it, I noticed that there must have been 20 instances of the word of. Ugh. Of is a preposition, and although not inherently an evil word, overusing it can make your writing sound passive and fussy. Here's an example of a bad sentence. She is the wife of George. Now that's just horrible. It makes me cringe just to say it. I mean, get to the point. A better sentence would be, she's George's wife. And I'm hopeful that none of you would actually write, she is the wife of George, or any other such strained sentence. But that of can really slip into your writing without being noticed if you aren't careful.
The website here is grammar, G-R-A-M-M-A-R, .qdnow.com. And one thing I'll say about this quickly is that this is the same person who does the Absolute Science podcast, which you may have heard of before. And this is a person who edits and does editing of nonfiction for a living. So she started doing this thing called Grammar Girls Podcasts.
So that's her credentials?
Those are her credentials.
Because I was asking about those.
Yep. Yeah, she's a nonfiction
editor. Catherine was doing
basically her
research before the podcast.
Well,
I
wanted
her
to know.
Save it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
she is a
why should we trust her grammar skills?
Yes. Well, because
above
she's a nonfiction editor who does this for a living.
For what companies?
For the company of nonfiction things. I don't know. So she's been doing this, and this is a relatively new show, I believe, and the shows are all very quick. They run anywhere from, I think, maybe 2 to 5 minutes. We listen to a few episodes. And she'll take a particular grammatical issue. One of them was how to write pounds, right, and pounds and inches and feet and, you know, size and weight measures and things like that, and how to abbreviate them properly.
The other one, incorrect use of.
O-F.
O-F, overuse of. And I guess the question is, what did you guys think good and bad about this?
Well, I just wonder who the audience is.
Yeah.
I mean, who sits at home listening to grammar?
Who read Panda Enters Shoots and Leaves?
Okay. I technically own that book.
It's I've read that too, and I don't remember off the top of my head now.
She had an English accent, though.
Yeah, eats, shoots, and leaves.
Well,
because she's British, yes. Okay, you can make comments about grammar without being British. But I guess, you know, one thing that could be said about it, and this is one thing I noticed, I do think that she has an interesting idea, and I do think that there are not that many. There's one other show, which is called The Word Nerds, which you guys have probably not heard of, but it's a pretty well-known podcast. And they do,
Catherine does have her I Love My Geek t-shirt on.
Yeah, okay, so.
It doesn't say nerd, though.
There's a big difference between geeks and nerds.
But there's not a lot of grammatical stuff, you know, that's out there in terms of podcasts and stuff like that. So it's helpful to have this. I guess my only concern about it is that it seemed to me that the topics were so wide-ranging and yet extremely specific that I don't know that I'm going to go, okay, so I need to figure out how to handle measurements. Quick, do a search for a podcast on how to handle measurements. Do you know what I mean?
But I think she's done it really, really smart because they're just 2 minutes. So
that's
it's kind
true.
Of fun. There are people that find grammar somewhat interesting or kind of learning grammar, learning better ways to improve their writing. And it's a really quick, dirty way of doing it.
But wouldn't you just go to, like, just Google it and it'll tell you how to abbreviate feet, right?
No, but she takes it to the next step. She tells you what.
But you could also look it up in the dictionary, too.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about reaching the tech-savvy crowd that would rather hear something than read it, yeah. I guess is the theory.
Oh, right. Okay, so I'm new to podcasts. Yeah. I don't understand them
And
yet.
I can tell you, as an English professor, anyone who can help the sad state of grammar in anybody would be very helpful. And my students, if they're more likely to listen to a podcast than to open a dictionary, then please, more of the Grammar Girl, because...
Yeah, you should play some of her episodes in your composition class.
That's a good
point. That's interesting. And I do think that the way that she has it set up... One thing I want to say about the website quickly... I understand how she has it set up, and I think it's, you know, it's a pretty clear, straightforward website. But she has a transcript, literally a full transcript of each show on the website, and I do then start to wonder about why. I mean, like, why do we need both the transcript and the show? And this is just sort of a trend which I notice in podcasting generally, which is the show notes are so comprehensive that after a while you start wondering why you're listening to the show.
Maybe what if you can't listen to the show?
But then you would look it up in a dictionary. Like, if you're going to be the kind of person who would look it up a dictionary, you're not going to sit here and read show notes. You're the kind of person, I would think, who wants to listen to it. You know what I mean? So I just don't know why it's on
there.
Okay,
but your point is, I presume your point is that it makes the website not look good. Is that your point? Because otherwise, why do you care?
No, correct.
And it's not quick and dirty.
It clutters the website a little bit,
okay,
is my view.
Then I would say she needs to have a little button for a transcript of it, click here. And then she could still have it for those of people who want to say, what did she say? I just want to know. And then they can look at it and not have to listen to the whole thing. Although it's 2 minutes. And she speaks very clearly.
She does.
And
yep.
and speaks, in layman's terms, she's really easy to understand.
Yep.
Part of the reason I think that it's, honestly, this is my theory, is I think the majority of the show is she's reading this. I think she writes her text and she reads it. Because it didn't sound very, like she was very off the cuff.
And I know that in the Absolute Science show, which I've listened to, she has a co-host. And they prepare and have written material, but they also sort of play off each other quite a bit and won't talk to each other. And that's a little bit lost in this kind of format where it's just her. So I would almost say that maybe one way would be being a little bit more spontaneous with it at times might even help sort of the presentation. But having said that, it's certainly clear and she certainly gets her point across. But in terms of making it a little bit more interesting and engaging, it might help to be a little bit more spontaneous.
It might be hard to be spontaneous by herself, though. I mean, yeah, she might need someone to bounce things off of.
You don't think we could be spontaneous by ourselves, babe?
Well, I know I can be.
What are you trying to say? Huh?
I was
one trick
it's
pony.
It's Catherine. Catherine one was trying to make a point, and, you know.
Okay.
What?
All right.
See, that was spontaneous.
It was.
That's what makes it funny.
Did you see that right there? That was spontaneous, listening audience.
That was not scripted.
All right, Catherine. So what was your, what's your rating of this show?
Okay, well, I have to say, I'm new to this whole podcasting thing. In fact, I have not perfected it. And the first time I listened to this show, I listened to it on my computer watching the little volume bar thing move. And I was like, wow, I need visuals. And then Clea was like, no, it's a podcast. So I do have an iPod. I don't know how to use it. So
perfect target audience.
No, but I'm new, right?
Right.
So this should be like, is this enticing for me?
Right.
Yeah,
do
I want to do more of this?
When did you get your iPod?
Okay, the iPod is for music.
Okay.
Not for words.
No, but that's what people do is they have music and they have podcasts on their iPod. I.e. pod.
All right, well, anyway.
Okay. So. I understand the concept now. I just haven't implemented yet. So, because I'm new to this, I don't want to be too critical because I would never do this.
Okay.
Like, I would look it up. But I agree with what you're saying about your students, and if this is easier for them and they're going to learn from this, which they will, because she is very good. Yep. I will always put a space between my 10 and my abbreviated foot.
That's right. 10 foot, yeah.
You have learned your lesson, Catherine.
I really have. So, and that was good. It took me, you know, like 10 seconds, and now I know it. So it's good. So I'm going to, this is still on the 5 scale, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3. Is that too boring?
No, that's fine.
No, we have a habit of giving a lot of things 3s,
okay,
unfortunately.
Then forget it. Then it's going to be a 2.75.
Oh, jeez. I see. All right, Clay, what do you got?
See, what I'm having a similar difficulty as Catherine is, are we reviewing how this rates as a podcast,
right,
or are we reviewing how successfully she does what she is doing? And I think what we've been doing when we've been reviewing podcasts, right, Greg, is we've been saying, how successfully does she attain her goal, right? And I think she's fairly successful in attaining her goal. I think if she could just be a little bit more off the cuff, and if she could address the issues of her website being a little bit more engaging, I think she'd get a little more audience. Cutting down on the text, so just have a button. She says in her podcast, you can go for a full transcript. Just say transcript here and click this button, and then they can get it. I want to give her a 4.
Okay, I'm going to end up somewhere in the middle of you two. I would give this a 3.5. I agree with what Clay and Catherine have both said. I think it would have value to people who wouldn't do it any other way, and I think she's very clear. But I think the key is to try to make it somewhat more engaging, and part of the way to do that is to make the website more engaging, and the other way is to sort of a little bit more off the cuff. So put those things together, combine it with a good idea, and I think you've got a 3.5. Okay, that is our show for this week. We want to thank Catherine again
for stopping by. Thank you, my love. You're very welcome. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It was a lot of fun, and we hope to have you back again. We will see all the rest of you wonderful people out there next week. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
I'm Catherine.
We'll see you next week. Have a good one. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.